Chapter 0. Now, where shall I begin? Let's see, where should I start? 'Twere sin to now brain fart, to forget before I remember, while it crawls the highest high of talls, my memory that is, jumping alive to crash, abyss both fire and ash. To respond to the blank with blankness will not do, as if I thank the stew in which all of us boils, the thanking will be rude, it spoils with gratitude. No, I won't be starting with preliminaries. Dumbing, smarting won't ease. And quieting noises with preludes or prologues, toys disliked, smokes and smogs, insults not only you, but also to him, he, man, too, 'tis discourtesy. Now look what I have done. Mentioned him that is him, only begun to dim. Thus, through introspection and philosophizing, lection offers him sting. Prior introduction, my words from my words steal, no production of feel, and this man, oh, that he, deserves more deserving than me. His car's swerving, and so now, yes, now, disespoused here by me is all philosophy. Don't you touch that dial, 'cause now the show is here. Watch while I disappear. Here commence the magic with this, without pity, ballad, tragic ditty. His first name was Flaylin, and his other, McDrab. Within these two small tabs were all that was of him. I write this less because the word of him then was, as his names were all he left and took, taken left was he, of past bereft. He, nor no one, ever had the slightest notion, a stream, never ocean, could be what one could say, if one could be one, if could be begun. But as much as we can't, so could Flaylin not see. But not through scant memory, but through non-existence of what we would call a too dense, too light, a past, for lack of a word. F. McD was around, but, though absurd it sound, no one, including him, could ever pinpoint, think, a limb to his life's brink. That is, until the start, that will soon be starting, his horse went cart-darting. His traveling this way, then that, any hold amiss in the fast cold of the unfathomable thing that can't be explained, a bucket full of rained. So thus, neither nurture's natures nor not nature's nurtures gave him tortures, without which we would not, but he, dungeons ages lost and ungot cages. So, just as a mother with child has a faint glow when her child doesn't show in her life-holding girth, and yet others can see the baby's birth prophecy, so did Flaylin McDrab's past life show without it, a crab apple's hid pit. So, without a past to bind or set him free, at first and last was he. That is to say, he was. And in wuzzing, F.M. was fuzz on a tree stem, neither seed, fruit, nor leaf, but instead a dust speck hugging a chief tree's neck. So was the world and he. For him, one word fits in. Happy's his description. That's all that one could say in the end of it all. Otherwise, dismay or stall is all chroniclers can do with him or for him or mildew in candy store him. And the McDrab's tale is so full and demands nothing so stale as hands that would jibber-jabber with descriptioning flay. It burns so with the day. Our day. This day. That one flowering august August, no blight of sun or dust creeping in amongst the earth and her wandering masses, no dearth of glad passes to be passed around. Ah, could that day ever know what a great fati do emerged from its bosom? I think not. Nobody can sum gratuity to the world's large repast when served by such waiters that go so fast, and sure's the thing, the thingness too. But when it's finally gone through, perhaps we'll see. But that's all incidental, just the scene of the scene. Those with mental are keen so as to never need such stages and smoke screens. So seeds without the means of water or dirt may still see the day dayin. So on that day, Flaylin walked out of his A house, wearing a pair of pants, a blouse, and happy stance. I am counting on you, O reader. Don't forget, happy's F's true mindset. As in a Greek comedy dramatic sort of thing, stepping loudly, the king main character guy comes out of a big dwelling. But mom's a spelling for that stupid chorus thing. Flaylin McDrab came out of house just the same. Except there wasn't an exposition. And the house man, well, you see, he may not have lived there, this before this began, but it was theory. In theory, someone should live there, and that someone must, we give him here our trust, no flailing McDrab, but he did walk out of it, no matter what posit else comes out of suppose. And he had a smile head, like roses have theirs red. Flailing McDrab set off from that house with gallant stride, boldly, loftily bent nowhere in particular, the world in late summer tickler to the number enjoying qualities of the brain, mind, or heart, with follities to start so soon, in September, that he had no real choice. Embers have such a voice that even fire-haters must watch their slow fading, caught by later's baiting. Which is to say nothing of F.M., with such ex-misting his not-complex disposition bubbling through his existencing, happy to fling and sing. But that was what made F. much more astoundedly eye-deaf, propoundedly so, when he discovered not half 50 paces were uncovered, laces still most thoroughly tied, that with his own two eyes he spied, doubting the spies, a man, much like himself, but with his truthy smile on some old shelf, to while the time away in sleep, not showing its bright might, but keeping kept up tight. The man carried a case, and he went walking on, just as his face prolonged its lengthening as he went, though it's just tending the same old fuss it always was, would, though the face's owner didn't know he could closer the fuss and face as well. And that's all that Flailin could tell, without mailing the Office of Records, which he didn't have to do. Having no words curfew for friends or for strangers, F. followed him, intent, dangers though there could went, to ask of the man's sad state, and so he quickened his speed a tad, sickened, in a good way, as he saw the man jump on a bus, and so he jumped too, in a jumpy can-can, glad to use his small brawn. So join us on the bus.